Midterm elections are just over a month away, and in many states, voting has already started. But this week, there were a few surprises that could actually play a role in deciding who wins. President Biden fulfilled a campaign promise and pardoned thousands of people convicted of simple federal marijuana possession. And in the Georgia Senate race, Republican former football star Herschel Walker has been scrambling to respond to a story about paying for a former girlfriend's abortion.
And here in Arizona, a pivotal race for Senate intensified after candidates met in their first and only debate last night. Our Friday Politics Roundtable joins us now. Francesca Chambers is White House correspondent for USA Today, and Ronald Hansen is national political reporter for the Arizona Republic here in Phoenix. Ron, welcome. Francesca, welcome.
Good to be with you guys.
Thanks so much.
So Republican Blake Masters was on the offensive last night against Democratic Senator Mark Kelly at a debate on Arizona PBS. And one of the flashpoints here was immigration. Let's listen.
This issue gets politicized over and over again from people like my opponent, Blake Masters.
Politicizing the issue, not understanding the issue. Respond, please.
Oh, I understand it very well. I understand that Mark Kelly supports open borders.
So, Ron, Masters has been behind in the polls, but I think it's fair to say that he held his own last night in this debate. How are the fundamentals of the race shaping up with just a few weeks before the midterms?
Well, I think he did make a good showing of himself last night in the debate. The trick for Masters is he is still behind in the polls and behind in fundraising, likely. Last we saw, he was well behind Mark Kelly at the time of the August primary. So what he needed to do last night was really kind of consolidate support with Republicans and reach out to independents. I think his showing last night probably shored up his support among Republicans. The question is whether his message resonated with independents.
Yeah, and Francesca, you know, this is important because, of course, control of the 50-50 Senate is at stake here. Arizona is seeing some of the highest inflation in the country right now. Is the White House going to be able to lower those prices fast enough? Is that even possible to help vulnerable incumbents like Mark Kelly?
Well, when you look at something like gas prices, which the White House again this week attributed high gas prices to the Russian war against Ukraine, you know, that is something that is largely out of their control over the next couple of weeks before the midterm election. And when you look at a state like Arizona, as you were stating, you know, the economy and inflation are the top issues there for voters, even more so than abortion at this point. And Republicans say that they are more energized to vote than Democrats in the latest CNN polling there. So it's certainly something that the White House and Democrats are concerned about at this point, inflation, the economy. But whether that will be more on voters' minds in the election than something like abortion rights, which Democrats are heavily campaigning on, I guess we'll have to wait and see.
Ron, I want to stick with Arizona for a second. Blake Masters has been campaigning over the last 2 years as an admitted election denier. Here's one of his ads from before the Republican primary.
I think Trump won in 2020. Maybe you disagree, but you've got to admit, this election was really messed up.
We saw last night, it seemed like he changed his tune a bit. He said he saw no evidence of voter fraud. What is that shift from that ad to how he sounded last night say about, you know, the appetite for these sort of election conspiracy theories in a general election?
You know, that was one of the clearer signs that he is trying to sound reasonable for those independent voters that I mentioned earlier. This is an issue that has been red meat for the Republican base in Arizona for some time, really ever since the 2020 election ended. We sort of shifted into a hand-wringing exercise of trying to search for evidence of widespread fraud that just never came up. And Blake Masters really sort of dabbled in suggesting that the election was unfair and kind of used this as an issue to make sure that none of his Republican challengers could get to his right throughout the extended Republican primary. Now that the primary is behind him and he's trying to reach out to those independent voters, he more or less acknowledged, yeah, there's no evidence of it. He maintained again that the election was unfair and blamed things like big tech. He's also cited the media for unfair coverage and such. But he really wanted to do sort of an ole around the issue, suggesting that this is something that probably isn't front and center for independent voters like it has been for Republicans.
Yeah, I mean, Arizona has been the epicenter for a lot of conspiracy theories surrounding the 2020 election. How likely is it, in your eyes, looking at this race, looking at the governor's race and the secretary of state race, that, you know, after these midterm elections, that Arizona could be run by a number of people who cast doubt on the 2020 elections?
I think that there's a very good chance that at least one or perhaps all three could break through. What you have is a slate of candidates that has sought and received the endorsement of former President Donald Trump. He will be in Arizona on Sunday, touting their election prospects again. And they have stuck close to touting the narrative of a stolen election. Voters here have to make a choice between some Democrats that have been well-financed in Mark Kelly's case, sort of prominent in Katie Hobbs's case for governor, and then you have Adrian Fontes, the person who oversaw the disputed Maricopa County ballots that were sort of reaffirmed even by the Republicans who were looking at them closely. But voters have to make a choice, and it's a relatively Republican-leaning electorate normally. And independent voters here must sort of settle between these candidates. And these are close races. We're sort of a 50-50 state on almost everything.
Francesca, let's take a trip across the country to another really important Senate race in Georgia, where the Republican Herschel Walker hopes to unseat the incumbent, the Democrat, Raphael Warnock. Walker has said that he opposes abortion without any exceptions, but he's also spent the last several days denying a story about paying for a former girlfriend's abortion. Here he is on the Hugh Hewitt radio program yesterday.
And if that had happened, I would have said it, because there's nothing to be ashamed of there. You know, people have done that, but I know nothing about it.
Francesca, he says his campaign has raised money off of this story. What's the impact been?
Well, I spoke to a prominent evangelical in the state just the other day about this, and I was told that this person believes Herschel Walker when he says that, and evangelicals more nationally are sticking by him. But one of the political scientists brought up to me the fact that that may not necessarily be true with evangelicals inside the state, you know, your average church-going voter. And so he will really need them to turn out in high numbers in order to beat Warnock in this campaign. But we're also hearing that also from other national Republicans. You've seen those big groups like the National Republican Senatorial Committee continue to stand by Walker also and say that this is about control of the United States Senate, and they need Georgia to be able to bring it back under Republican control.
Francesca, do you have a sense on how Republicans are viewing a number of competitive races in the Senate? I mean, are which states do they see as most likely to win in these competitive races?
So Republicans have told me that they anticipate that they will keep all the states where they currently have Republican U.S. senators. Now, of course, it's a tough battle in Pennsylvania, and Democrats think that they have a very good chance of flipping that seat. John Fetterman running in that seat against Mehmet Oz. But when you look at Republicans, they think that they could flip that seat in Nevada, where Catherine Cortez Masto and Adam Laxalt are competing against each other. And then thirdly, we have that Georgia race, which is a really tough battle between Walker and also against Raphael Warnock, the incumbent senator.
All right. Well, there was another big story, a political story out of Washington this week. President Biden says he will pardon federal marijuana possession convictions, federal ones. And there's a question whether that will make a big difference in the coming weeks before this election. Will it help with voter enthusiasm or turnout, candidate messaging, that sort of thing? Ron, you're in Arizona where marijuana is legal statewide. How's that news going over where you are?
I suspect it won't be any downside of effect for the president, and could bring with it some sort of potential appeal to younger voters, people who have more relaxed attitudes about marijuana and for whom this might care, but mostly this is not a big issue in Arizona. We as a state sort of have turned the page on this first as a medicinal issue before the voters and then later as a recreational issue. So it's something that a lot of Arizonans really have kind of moved on.
Francesca, we have about a minute left here. What's the national view on the president's decision here?
Well, going back to that Pennsylvania race for a minute, recall that John Fetterman, when he met with President Biden during a recent trip to the state, that he pushed him on this issue about decriminalizing marijuana. And so he was one of the first candidates that you saw yesterday come out with a statement applauding the president for this. More broadly, when it comes to younger voters in the election, Democrats really hopeful that youth voters will turn out in the midterms, whether it's this or whether it's student debt or over abortion rights.
Francesca Chambers, White House correspondent for USA Today, and Ronald Hansen, national political reporter for another Gannett paper, the Arizona Republic. Thanks to you both.
Thank you.
Thanks.